In a galaxy far, far away, it is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. Don't get too excited, guys. Unfortunately, this is not from any NASA press release or anything. It's actually from the opening scene of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. And like most of you, I too were inspired by these kind of movies to, you know, look up at the sky and ask the question, are we alone? And that's what we'll be trying to answer here today. Myself, Aman Mohan, and with me is Krishna Bulchandani. Hey, Krishna.
Hey, Aman. Hi, everyone.
Hey. So, let's begin. So, basically, extraterrestrial life or intelligent life, sometimes colloquially referred to as alien life, is hypothetical life that may occur outside Earth and which did not originate on Earth. And such life might range from simple prokaryotes or comparable life forms to intelligent beings and even sapient beings, possibly bringing forth civilization that may be far more advanced than humanity.
Yeah, and since the mid-20th century, active research has taken place to look for signs of extraterrestrial life, encompassing searches for current and historic extraterrestrial life and a narrower search for extraterrestrial intelligent life.
Yeah, and the concept of extraterrestrial life and particularly extraterrestrial intelligence has had a major cultural impact, especially extraterrestrials in fiction, like I talked about in the beginning. And over the years, science fiction has communicated scientific ideas, imagined a wide range of possibilities, and influenced public interest in and, you know, perspectives on extraterrestrial life.
Absolutely true. I remember myself reading a book of Carl Sagan named Intelligent Life and Universe and being in awe of it for a few days. So for millennia, humans have gazed in wonder at stars, trying to understand their nature and importance. We have developed telescope only a few hundred years ago, and since then, the dimensions of our observable universe have expanded exponentially with technological advances and the insights of quantum physics and relativity.
Yeah, and beginning in the early 1960s, scientists have tried to calculate the odds of advanced extraterrestrial life. And in 1961, the researchers at the NASA-funded Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, commonly known as SETI, develop the Drake equation, and it basically estimates how many civilizations in the Milky Way might evolve to develop the technology to emit detectable radio waves.
Yeah, and though SETI is an extremely controversial scientific endeavor, some scientists believe that it is a complete waste of time and money, while others believe that detection of signal from ET would forever change our view of universe. I believe in it.
Yeah. Me too. And because the sky is so big, there are basically two approaches to SETI searches. And the first one is wide field search. And in this method, you survey large chunks of sky one at a time for signals. And a wide field search allows the entire sky to be searched at a low resolution in a short period of time. And however, if a signal is detected, it would be difficult to pinpoint the exact source with a subsequent high resolution search. So Krishna, what's the second method?
Other one is targeted search. In this method, you make intensive investigation of a limited number, around 1,000 to 2,000 of sun-like stars for ET signals. This search allows for more detailed investigations of small areas that we think might be probable locations of ET, such as stars with planets and conditions favorable for life as we know it. However, this approach ignores the large portion of sky and might yield nothing if the guesswork is wrong.
Yeah, and the process doesn't end there. And if a signal is detected, there are a series of steps that follow to confirm that the signal is extraterrestrial. And the first one is the radio telescope is moved off the target and the signal should go away. And it should return when the telescope is pointed back to the target. So basically, this confirms that the signal is coming from the telescope's field of view. And other known Earth or, you know, near-Earth sources such as satellites must be ruled out. And the known natural extraterrestrial sources such as pulsars and quasars should also be ruled out. And the signal must be confirmed by another radio telescope also, preferably one on a different continent. So now the major question remains, Krishna, where is everybody?
This is actually the heart of infamous Fermi paradox. And it's actually the main argument used to fuel the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, SETI organization. At first glance, it seems immediately obvious that we should not be alone in the universe. And so if we look hard enough, we should see evidence for intelligence. But over half a century of SETI, however, we have found nothing. No radio signals, no artifacts, no mega engineering. To date, after over 100 dedicated searches, we have absolutely no evidence for any intelligent life in our galaxy or in the universe.
Yeah, that's bad. And in 1995, the first exoplanet was discovered orbiting Pegasus 51, and which is 50 light years distant from Earth. And since then, there have been more than 4,000 confirmed discoveries of exoplanets in our galaxy. More important, the astronomers agree that almost all stars have planets, which radically improves the odds of our discovering intelligent life in the universe.
And adding to that, at the low end of consensus estimates among astrophysicists, there may be only one or two planets hospitable to the evolution of technologically advanced civilization in a typical galaxy of hundreds of billions of stars. But with 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe, that adds up to a lot of possible intelligent, although distant neighbors.
Yeah, and if only 1 in 100 billion stars can support advanced life, that means that our own Milky Way galaxy, home to around 400 billion stars, would have four likely candidates. Of course, the likelihood of intelligent life in the universe is much greater if you multiply by the 2 trillion galaxies beyond the Milky Way.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we are unlikely to ever make contact with life in other galaxies. Travel by spaceship to our closest intergalactic neighbor, which is Canis Major Dwarf, would take almost 750 million years with current technology. Even a radio signal, which moves at a close to speed of light, would take around 25,000 years. The enormity of cosmos confront us with an existential dilemma. There's a high statistical likelihood of intelligent life forms having evolved elsewhere in the universe, but a very low probability that we'll be able to communicate or interact with them. It's kind
Yeah,
of sad.
that is really sad. And but there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there about crop circles, UFO sightings, etc. So crop circles have been appearing in grain fields all over the earth during the last few decades, and they appear suddenly, usually at night. But it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't think a highly advanced intelligent civilization would travel millions of light years to our planet just to doodle on our grass. I mean, I think they would do a bit more than that.
Yeah, and in most of these cases, people behind these crop circles have admitted it. And recently, Pentagon has approved 2 videos to be actual sighting of UFOs, but there is no proof that they are a result of intelligent life outside Earth.
Yeah, true. And just imagine this. When Columbus discovered America, it didn't work out really well for the Native Americans. Similarly, when the British came to India, they oppressed us for many years. Therefore, many scientists believe that when a race more powerful than human beings visit us, it won't turn out to be good for us. But Carl Sagan has stated that it is more likely that the mere fact that they have survived so long means that they have learned to live with themselves and with others.
Yeah, and I guess you might be knowing Carl Sagan was the man behind famous golden record, which is floating in space on the Voyager, in the hope that one day an alien civilization would find it. The record contains sounds and images selected to portray the diversity of life and culture on Earth, and are intended for any intelligent extraterrestrial life form who may find them. Till now, I guess we didn't have any luck. Let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope, fingers crossed. And even regardless of these odds, the existence of intelligent life in the universe matters deeply to most humans on this planet. You know why? It's because we humans are fundamentally social creatures who thrive on connection and wither in isolation. And in the past year, many of us felt the hardship of isolation as deeply as a threat of a potentially fatal infectious disease. It enforced seclusion during the pandemic, tested the limits of our tolerance for separation, and made us acutely aware of our interdependence with all life on Earth. So I guess it's no wonder that the idea of a trackless universe devoid of intelligent life fills us with the dread of cosmic solitary confinement.
Absolutely true. For 100 years, we have been emitting radio signals into space, and for past 60 years, we've been listening, and so far in vain. For the beginning of celestial conversation, the prospect of life on other planets remains a profound one, regardless of our ability to contact and interact with them. As we await the evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence, we should draw comfort from the knowledge that there are many powerful forces in the universe more abstract than the idea of alien intelligence, right?
Yeah, that's true. And love, friendship, and faith, for example, are impossible to measure or calculate, and yet they remain central to our fulfillment and sense of purpose. And I'd like to quote one of my favorite movies here, Interstellar. Love is the only thing that transcends space and time. And so we look forward with an infinity of hope to the moment when humans will finally make contact with extraterrestrial intelligence, and in whatever far-flung star system they may live, and in whatever century or millennium moment that momentous meeting may occur.
Until that day, we have no doubt that generations of young humans around the globe will continue to stand watch, looking skyward with same sense of amazement and wonder.
Yeah. So guys, that's it for this week's episode. So see you all next week with another episode. This is Aman Mohan signing off with Krishna. Bye-bye, and may the force be with you.
Bye guys.